T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Show is on the air, and we are glad to have you. Today is going to be a day, at least for a while, it's going to be a tough day, okay? And you probably know it's what everybody's talking about. Hell, Good Morning America is in Milwaukee. It's the Sterling Brown video. And I know it's been talked about by many. I have not really weighed in on this. And even last night, when I was on Twitter, I didn't want to get into a discussion on Twitter, okay, because I didn't want anything that I was about to say to be taken out of context, if you will, okay? You've probably seen the video either in its full entirety, or if you saw a portion of it, okay? It may not do it total justice. First of all, let me say this. When this whole thing first broke, and we, before it ever was made public, we had the verbiage from the police report. So you go by that. Okay, that's what you go by. And at the time, I was pretty hard on Sterling Brown. I was wrong. The initial contact, what Sterling Brown did to initiate all of this was basically, stupidly, park long ways in a handicap space, okay? You shouldn't have done it. Let's be honest, okay? Had he not done that, none of this starts. But, okay? We can all agree upon that. That's a fact, all right? But what happened after that was bad. It was awful. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Look, the original cop was an ass. To ask Sterling Brown his name and such, you know what? That's what you do. But there's a way, I've always said, there's two ways to eat a steak dinner. You can have a steak, baked potato, maybe some asparagus on the side, corn, whatever it is you want for a vegetable, nice drink, put it on fine china, great silverware, white tablecloth, appetizing, classy, perfect. But you can have that same dinner, steak, baked potato, a little bit of wine, your asparagus, your corn, whatever. You put the wine in a crappy plastic cup, and you put the steak on a garbage can lid. It's the same dinner. It's just in the presentation. And what this cop did was basically become a god with a badge. His wang grew 50 feet because he had a badge, and he thought he was going to bully this guy and just be an ass. So instead of saying, hey, you're parked like this, can I have some identification? Okay. And then when he asked him his name, you know, and he said Sterling Brown, he didn't believe him. I mean, so at that point, what do you do? Sterling Brown's not trying to be a combative. He was saying, my name's Sterling Brown. I mean, watch this. The guy's just, the cop was a jerk. And it escalated from there. Because at that point, I have to admit, and I've watched this thing now, God, I've watched it probably 15 or 20 times. And I'm trying to go over every word and every moment, okay? And then I think to myself, I shouldn't be doing this. because that's not the way this happened. This didn't happen watching life unfold 10 times. This happened right here, right now. And the whole time I'm watching this, I'm thinking, what if this was a family member of mine? What if this was me? How would I react? I would start to get a little annoyed and pissed off because I'm being harassed. And it's one thing to be given a ticket and cited. I completely agree. Again, what the cop did in coming over and saying, hey, who the hell do you think you are? Parking in two handicapped spaces of all places. Here you go. I'm going to write you a ticket. Okay. But to basically, to be cited is one thing, to be degraded is another. And that cop did nothing but set out to degrade Sterling Brown. To take away your human decency. He could have had a bad night. He could have had a bad day. He could have just had a bad arrest and back out on the street. He could have had an argument with his boss, his partner. I don't know. But you don't do that to somebody. And that's the way it seemed. It seemed like this guy was looking for a fight. And so whenever he had the, technically speaking, opportunity, he took it. He took it. So when the mayor of Milwaukee and the city of Milwaukee and the police chief now say, we looked at this and we expect backlash. Hell yeah, you should. You're about to pay a lot of money because you stuck a guy out on the street who's below his waist was basically the size of his badge. Look, I support cops. I think they're woefully underpaid, and I have done ride-alongs, and I think some of the garbage they put up with is inhumane. It really is. And I've always sided on the side of law enforcement. In this case, I can't. I just can't. This guy, I wish I could use strong language. This guy was an ass. And then to try to play it off and get all the other cops kind of on your side. You knew after the fact that you were wrong and this was going to become big because you can listen to the voice. I don't care if he was a cop or if he was a buck, blah, blah, blah. I mean, just the guy was just a jag. He just was. Now, I don't know how I would have reacted. I know that I started to feel a lot of the sense of what I was getting out of Sterling Brown in that video. I'm not black. I can't relate to some of the harassment that he's gone through or any other black person's gone through. I couldn't tell you. I'm just telling you as I'm sitting there in my own skin watching this, I was getting pissed. I was getting pissed at the cop because all it was just, if I don't have an ID, run my license plate, find out who I am, you know, and just give me the ticket. Don't sit here and degrade me the whole time. So it's a shameful, shameful situation. And the Milwaukee police chief, for what he did yesterday in coming out and talking about transparency and then walking away from questions, is cowardly and a lie. Transparency is we were going to get the video cam anyway. That's public record, okay? So don't act like you're doing us a favor. Because once it's word is that it's there, the public has a right to know. Under the Freedom of Information Act, we have a right to know. So don't act like you're doing us a favor. And you can apologize all you want, but if you're not going to answer questions, at least minimal questions, that's coward, man. You can't pontificate about how you're going to be so much better and open up your department. And look, there's a lot of people that I know that think you're a pretty good guy, and what you did yesterday was garbage. It was garbage. Your cop screwed up. Now, I know you have to go through the whole process of the union, and you have to deal with all the disciplinary hearings and everything, but that guy should be gone. He just should be. No ifs, ands, or buts. But not all cops are bad, and not all cops are like that guy. They're not. I just know too many of them. There's a lot of good guys out there, and women, for that matter, that really care. And they try to do the right thing. This guy The size of what's in his pants is the size of his gun and his badge. And he just wanted to be a badass. More of the Bill Michael Show after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael's show is on the air. It is not easy to discuss when you get into race and politics and confrontations with police officers or firefighters or teachers or whatever, because I'm a huge supporter of them. I'm a huge supporter of their unions. And what it is they do. I believe that the backbone of this country is our military, it is our firefighters, it is our police departments and our teachers, because they handle the most precious things we can possibly ask them to handle. And they get underpaid, overworked, and get tired of being beat up because they're doing a job that none of us want to do. So it's tough for me. I do a lot of things with a lot of different police departments and municipalities, and I believe in that. You know, I just do. I think those are incredibly honorable things. But what happened in this video was a travesty. Sterling Brown was dehumanized and shouldn't have been. Not over a traffic ticket. Come on. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. I certainly hope that there's an outcome to where the person that began to instigate all of this, that being the police officer, is no longer a police officer. He doesn't deserve to be. The motto for police is to protect and serve. Protect and serve. Not bully and degrade. I mean, you know, they could have told him, you know, hey, you got to move your vehicle. Hey, we're going to give you a ticket. Don't let your arrogance overcome you anymore. You know, I mean, whatever. But and the other side of this coin, and I want you to, I really, 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 really want you to think about this for a minute, okay? I really do. The other side of this coin is the black eye that it gives good cops. And I know this because I know cops. I just do. I know in doing this job, I'm exposed to a lot of different people. And it doesn't make me better or worse. It just makes me accessible in a different way. Okay? I'm just like you. Go through the same things. I've been married. I've been divorced. I've had kids. I've had the same issues with homes, plumbing situations. You know, I mean, you name it. Whatever you've done in your daily life, I've done it. Okay? And But doing this job has been a dream for me, and I get a chance to meet a lot of great people, and I get a chance to meet a lot of great people that do a lot of dirty jobs. And I'm only going to give you this for a second, and I'm going to go ahead and start taking phone calls. I was out one time on a ride-along on New Year's Eve with some Milwaukee police, and we were in an unmarked car, but just out basically, I was there to see what a day in the life is like, okay? And we came upon a traffic accident. It actually, I shouldn't even say came upon it. It actually happened right in front of us, where there was a family in a minivan that was driving through a stop or through a traffic light. It was green. They had the right of way, and a person pulled out and hit them. Well, the kids come out of the car. The mother comes out of the car. She's already on her phone. And the kids, the one girl, it turns out, was 12 years old, and the other kid that was there was 11. The girl was 12, the son was 11. The mom got out of the car, and the two kids, specifically the 11-year-old girl, or the 12-year-old girl, starts dropping the most profane language on the cop. Because the cops that I was with said, well, we got to take care of this. We at least got to, you know, make sure that they're safe and kind of turn our lights on. And he's explaining it to me what they're doing. They're going to kind of block traffic to make sure that while the people are out in the street, that nobody hits them. So they're going to make sure that at least there's a cautionary area here for their safety. So the cops get out of the car. The girl begins, the mother's on the phone. The person that hit them is out of the car going, man, I'm really sorry. I didn't see you. I thought I could make it. You know, he's trying to apologize. The mother won't hear any of it. And the kids are screaming at the cop, where the blank are you? Why weren't you here to stop this and this and that? I mean, unbelievable language from a 12-year-old. And the mother is on the phone, like I said. So the officer says to the mother, excuse me, ma'am, just a second. And he says to her, can you please have your daughter stop swearing at me? He doesn't say anything to the kid. With that, the mother goes off. How dare you, blankety blank, mother blanker, the whole thing on this guy. How dare you tell me how to raise my kids and this and that. I mean, this was the mentality that he was dealing with. Meanwhile, the guy who hit them is now back in the car because he's starting to get scared. And at that point, another carload, a van load of people pull up. That's who she was on the phone with. Her family, who then all come down and begin to scream at the cops. Now, we were sitting at the stoplight talking. We didn't do anything. And now they're being berated. I mean, in the most vulgar language you could ever put on display. And that's the situation they had to handle. And I get back in the car and I told the guys, I said, how do you deal with that? And they said, well, just after a while, you just don't hear it. You know, it's just, it becomes almost white noise. I said, that's unbelievable. But that's what they deal with. I'm not condoning any actions here, but I'm just simply saying, when you want to rip a cop, think about the crap that they have to deal with. Because it's usually not you and I, who are usually pretty respectable. We pull up, we get pulled over. Thank you. Yes, sir. No, sir. Okay. You know, hey, were you speeding? Yeah, I was probably doing 50 and a 45. My bad. You know, like the day I pulled myself over in Franklin, I was doing 65 and a 30. I said, man, I'm really sorry. My son was late for school. We were really in a hurry. I mean, I knew you got me. I would never drive like this if there was other cars in front of me or behind me or off to the other side of the road. I saw a complete open space and you got me. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I know what I did. I'm sorry. Okay. You know, but some of the stuff that they have to deal with is unbelievably awful. And nobody should have to deal with that, which is why I've always said cops, firefighters, teachers, military, all woefully underpaid. So I take that into account when this cop gets out with attitude. Okay? I do. I pay attention to that because I know what they deal with. But this was basically, you were trying to humiliate the guy. It just, the video shows it all. I mean, I don't need to explain it. The video shows it all. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. Let's go to the phone calls. Let's talk to Dan and Racine. Dan, welcome to the program, The Bill Michael Show.
Hey, Bill. Outstanding job this morning on such a divided, well, it shouldn't be a divided issue. But unfortunately, like you said, you got to deal with that a lot of times, and you got to hold your ground. But in this situation, they didn't. And this guy that's going to be the police chief cannot be the police chief. I mean, he botched this all up from the get-go. And now we're in this situation where, yeah, this guy needs to be fired. Absolutely. And you can't have that guy carrying a gun. The thing is, though, is we have to start from the whole recruiting practice of how we hire police. That being said, the perfect example is when you're in an interview, they look at your education big time. 2 years, you can work to get your associate's bachelor's degree. You got the job pretty much guaranteed. That being said, you got a guy that's got 4 to 6 years of correctional experience. Now, yeah, you might say Key Turner, probably not educated. Wrong. I'm not saying what I do for a living or anything like that, but the fact is that when you're denied that position, you're giving up on a guy that's probably got 6 to 10 years under his belt dealing with all kinds of subcultures.
everything you can imagine, from white collar crime to anything you can think of. So, and you're dealing with that not with a gun on your hip, not with OC,
right.
not with a baton. You got a radio, and that's it. So obviously, you got to be able to carry yourself, communicate with people, and defuse a lot of situations. That person, in an interview, is not getting the job because the first thing they're looking at is this guy that's got a 4 years bachelor's and saying, come on in, with probably very little experience, probably a security guard at Southridge, maybe worked a little bit. And, you know, maybe that does work out, but it's not. We're clearly seeing that our hiring practices are horrible.
Appreciate the phone call. Sometimes when you talk about hiring practices, I don't know if it's sometimes because look, anybody can say anything in interviews. Anybody can test out any particular way, you know, they want. Sometimes people don't get drunk on power until after they have it. So you don't know with a person going in what their motives are. Do you want to be a cop and help keep your city safe and protect people and do good things? You know, do you want to pull up in a squad car when there's an altercation and help a person that's being abused? Stop a domestic violence situation. Keep somebody safe. Do you see kids that are too young to be out on their own and they need to get home or they need to cross the street and maybe you get out and help them? Is that what you're there for? Is that protect and serve? Or are you there because you want a badge, you want a gun, and you want to be the biggest badass on the block? It's hard to weed that ladder out from the former sometimes because you don't know. But that certainly seemed like what the first cop was doing, was just being a badass, just being a jerk. Didn't need to be. Let's go to Craig on the South Side. Craig, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hello, Bill. How you doing?
Doing well today. What's up?
Yeah, I'm a first-time caller. First of all, I do have a four-year degree in criminal justice, and I work in the medical field. And I have an incident I just want to explain. Back when I bought my house in 1999, and this happened in 2001, and this is on the south side of Milwaukee, where a police officer, during the middle of the day, I went to 27th and Edgerton. I don't know if you know where that is on the south side. I bought a new truck, so it was a 99 Dodge Ram. I picked up dirt from Blumel's Garden Shop. And in the middle of the afternoon at 12 o'clock, yeah, police officer pulled me over because he said because I had false registration. So the dealership, basically, when I transferred from my S10 truck, which is a smaller truck, to a bigger truck, a police officer pulled me over, and he said, you're one of these people. And I said, what does that mean? So he pulled me over with a full load of dirt in the back of my truck,
mm-hmm.
and made me go turn on 27th Street, which is always a very fast, there's
yeah.
three lanes there.
Very busy street, yeah.
And pulled me on the side of the road, and he said, yeah, well, here, you have to sit on the ground and pull off your sticker. And I said, what? And he goes, yes, pull off your sticker in front of me. Well, I went to court, and, you know, the judge looked at me and looked at him, and the officer, and she goes, why are you even here? Because it was basically the dealership's fault.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess what I'm saying is, you know, I mean, this stuff happens everywhere. I mean, a situation like
yeah.
this, there's bad individuals everywhere. I mean, it just depends on the cop. As you were saying, like, before in your intro, I mean, I know what they go through, but I mean, like, when I saw that video, that's just totally wrong.
Yeah.
And that's why I got out of that, too, because it was like, it was just, I mean, what they have to deal with on a daily basis is a lot.
Well,
but, you know, I mean,
no, I agree.
In other parts of society.
No, I completely agree. I appreciate the phone call because I really don't. I appreciate the situation you were in. And I've been in a circumstance like that. I always ask myself, what led to this? What could I have done different that this would not have happened? Could I have slowed down? Could I have paid a fine? What could I have done? So I always think to myself, what initiated it, and then go from there. So whatever the initial act is, usually it's something that I've done. But there is a professionalism about it. And I know sometimes just by what they have to put up with, they can look at people as numbers, statistics, or almost unhuman or inhuman. Just because it can be such a just disgusting job. But sometimes you find that you treat human beings as human beings and they become human beings. I don't know what else to say about it. 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. Give us a shout, 855-830-8648. When we come back, Eric Edholm, Pro Football Weekly, going to be joining us. Coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show is on the air. We'll get back into the Sterling Brown discussion coming up here in a little bit. When we booked the show, we booked guests, as we always do, and we talk about many different things. I do want to get back into that, though, because I think it's something that's obviously worth it. So stay tuned, because we will discuss the video coming up here in just a little bit. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs, where they believe in better, and they want to make you a VIP. When you're going to go to Summerfest this year, would you like to do it as a VIP? A couple of concert tickets to the American Family Insurance Amphitheater, plus you get the VIP treatment. You get, in addition to that, parking passes, gift cards, a whole lot more. The only way to get registered is by going to CousinSubs.com/BigGigGiveaways. CousinSubs.com/BigGigGiveaway, and you can check it out for yourself, because you could be a winner. You could be a VIP. That's what everybody wants to be. Let's do this. Turn our sights towards football, as there is some things to discuss. Eric Edholm, a Pro Football Weekly, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Eric, how you doing?
All good. What's happening?
Well, we're just kind of waiting to see if Aaron Rodgers is able to take this team deep into the postseason this year and get them back to a Super Bowl. The biggest question is, defensively speaking, have they done enough? And in your opinion, have they done enough?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously interesting to see the group they've put together and how – you know, what version of Muhammad Wilkerson are we going to see? You know, is he the guy who's now motivated to try to prove himself as a player once more? Can he be impactful up front? You know, otherwise, you know, if that's the case, that's a pretty good signing, you know, for value-wise. And all the additions they've made in the secondary, the new faces, the old faces, there's at least some depth there, and where you feel like, okay, Mike Pettine can come in, ask these guys to play press coverage, kind of do what he wants to do. But you take away, you know, Burnett was obviously kind of a glue guy there, played a lot of roles for them. I mean, it's hard to say that they have a championship defense, but when you have Aaron Rodgers, there's obviously a little flexibility there, right? You don't need a team that's going to be top 10 in every statistical unit. They just have to be good in the red zone, hold teams to field goals, and I think the offense will carry the heavy lifting.
So do they have enough offensive? I mean, the biggest thing, the offense, yeah, at least for me, there's two circles right here, and one is the right side of the offensive line. I think they know what their guard position is going to be. I don't think right now you have a lockdown right tackle, because Bulaga and Spriggs are both coming off of injury, so you're not sure. And then, you know, they believe they're set at the wide receiver position. They went out and got a lot of young talent. But that veteran depth, you bring in Jimmy Graham, you know you're going to split him out. But Devontae Adams has had 3 concussions in 2 years. If he gets hit again, God forbid, and he goes down for, say, an extended portion of the season, you don't have much veteran on the outside. I mean, that's the only reason I would say they would consider the Dez Bryant move.
Yeah, and that's a great point about Adams that I, you know, frequently forget, is that, you know, obviously got the big extension. The touchdown production has been phenomenal. He clearly is the go-to guy here. But the concussion factor is that X factor. You know, that wild card where one more big hit, it's a scary proposition. You do have to sort of be careful and mindful of that. So, yeah, I struggle to figure out exactly what Jimmy Graham is going to provide them. I mean, obviously his statistics have kind of wildly varied from one year to the next. We know he's not a blocker. He's essentially a big slot receiver. So I guess you sort of consider him a wide receiver of sorts too. The whole mix is interesting. If everybody stays healthy, if they have great luck with health, you know, obviously they didn't necessarily have that last year at a few positions. You know, you've got an intriguing little running back trio. If the line can kind of gel, good things can happen with this group. But as you pointed out, once, you know, just like with the offensive line last year, their starting five was fine, in my opinion. Once those guys started falling, that's when the trouble really happened. So, yeah, that depth concern is real, I think.
Talking with Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly, when you look at the division itself, how, you know, we know Minnesota's a good team, and I don't know what Kirk Cousins is going to do. I don't know if he's going to take them to a higher level or if he's just going to be the same old, get to 10 wins or more. I don't know. But what is going to be the fly in the ointment? How much better? Because I'm hearing a lot of optimism coming out of Chicago, and they have picked up some pretty solid pieces. I know it rests on the arm of Mitch Trubisky and their new head coach, but how much better do you think Chicago has gotten?
I think they're a competitive team. Now, obviously, this is a team that's had trouble winning games at home. I mean, they have a terrible record the last, you know, 3-4 years at Soldier Field. You have a first-year head coach that we really don't, frankly, know too much about. I mean, Matt Nagy comes from good stock, right? That Philadelphia Eagles slash Kansas City Chiefs group that's produced some darn good coaches. You know, we saw what Doug Peterson did last year. And likewise, we saw what happened in L.A. with the Rams and how you could take a team from the least productive offense with a second-year quarterback, adding some weapons, right, and guys like Anthony Miller and Allen Robinson, et cetera, and things can change dramatically overnight. Do I think that's going to be like the instant coffee version of the Bears this year? Probably not. But Vic Fangio and that defense, good. You know, I think the special teams will be a little more consistent, a little more solid. They did lose some close games. I think they were 2-6 in like one-score games last year. So, you know, pretty competitive outside of a couple blowouts. The Packers were one of those blowouts. You know, there's only one or two other games where they really weren't even in it. So I think they'll be a tougher team this year, but it's just taking that next step, you know, and I just, yeah, finding that identity and assuming Trubisky is going to be a couple notches ahead of where he was last year. Lions, you know, it's tough to know. They have a great quarterback and they have some pieces, but I do think it's going to be one of the better divisions top to bottom in the NFL.
Well, that was going to be my next question. You mentioned Detroit, yeah. And when you talk about the division as a whole, how much does this division then begin to beat up on one another, or is Detroit and Chicago still far enough behind the Packers in Minnesota that just those two teams are going to be battling for the top spot? And in addition to that, if the division is that tough, then how tough will it be for any one of these teams coming out of this division to be then that NFC, say, champion in the sense of having that you know, home field advantage throughout?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many interesting factors here. Could we see a repeat of what happened in the NFC South last year, where you have three very good teams and one last place team that's, you know, the Buccaneers were, what, 4-12 last year, but they had a billion close games. They were not, to me, a 4-12 type of team. Were they good? No. You know, they made their own mistakes and have everything to blame, but you know, they looked more like a 7-9 team to me more often than a 4-12 team. So that same thing could play out in the North, where you could have two wild card teams in this division. I wouldn't completely stun me. And you know, the Vikings could have fewer wins this year and technically be a better, more complete team. You add Sheldon Richardson, Cousins may give them a bump, although, you know, Case Keenum, I thought, played really well in the regular season. But Dalvin Cook is back, et cetera. I mean, it's hard not to think that they at least have potential to be better, you know. So it's really tough. I do think this is going to be a very solid division. I think the Lions, you know, with a new head coach, even with a franchise quarterback in his prime, even with some pretty good weapons, the makings of a good offensive line, secondaries in decent shape. I wouldn't stun me if they're a last place team. And by last place, you know, I would still think they're going to be the type of team that could beat any other team in the division on a given Sunday.
Who else in the NFC is a team that we really should be paying attention to? We know L.A. got better last year, but some of the mainstays, yeah. I'm not a big believer in what Seattle has going on. I know they're really going for it down in New Orleans, so how serious should we take them? Obviously, Philadelphia is, I think, still going to be a very good team. And where does Carolina fall in all of this?
Yeah, I feel like Carolina might be a regression team. And you know, the ones you mentioned, you know, like you said, I you know, New Orleans has had a lot of positive momentum. I know they, you know, have to play four games without Mark Ingram, and, you know, who knows if that defense is truly a great unit yet. But, yeah, I think Carolina, because of the toughness of the division, maybe Tampa bounces back a little. You know, Carolina suffered some big losses this offseason. They added some pieces, but I don't know. I just sort of have a feeling that they were living dangerously last year. They were another team that I think they were like 8-1 in one-score games. And the idea being that, you know, some of that is luck, the ball kind of bouncing your way a little bit. And I don't know that they have the takeaway potential on defense to kind of make up for some of their holes on offense. So as far as the teams that could break out, I mean, people are obviously hyping up San Francisco, and, you know, maybe they're still a few players short of being a great team. But if you told me they could have a Rams 2007-like season this year, It wouldn't shock me either. I think they'll be a little less explosive offensively, a little more middle of the road defensively. But, you know, that's a team to watch, obviously. As I said, I maybe I'm drinking the the Kool-Aid too much, but I think the Bucks will bounce back from 4-12. I think they're a more competitive team than what they showed record-wise last year. And I think, you know, the NFC East, get Ezekiel Elliott back. He makes the Cowboys more relevant. They were really good with him on the field last year. The Giants aren't a terrible football team despite their record last year. I think they're going to be way more competitive. It's just so fascinating because you know the shifting will happen. Some last-place teams will jump up to first and second place in their respective divisions.
Offensively, in the AFC, we know that Tom Brady and company, not very copacetic, I guess is the best way to put it. This is a team that everybody expects to just light it up and go on and win themselves another AFC championship. Do you see it happening?
I'm kind of done doubting this team.
Right.
You know, like, it's like betting to stop a trend, right? It's never good advice, you know, but at the same time, you bring up a real question. Is Brady at the point of his career where he's saying, you know, I've done enough. I can play things my way. And he doesn't mind being a little bit of a divisive force here, you know, bringing the attention on him for staying away from OTAs. When it comes down to August and training camp starts, will any of this matter? I tend to doubt it. I think things will be fine. They've added pieces defensively. They've got a slew of wide receivers who are vying for, you know, 4, 5, 6 spots. So, you know, the offensive line feels rebuilt to me. You know, they've added reinforcements there. You know, that team last year, it's shocking to me that they were able to get to that Super Bowl with that defense. I mean, that's, if you want to go back to your Rodgers question,
yep.
You know, that's the same feeling I had with the Patriots last year. They had no business with that defense getting into the Super Bowl, but they did. And so, you know, with their coaching, their quarterbacking, I can't doubt them very much.
Eric, always appreciate the time, and we will talk again soon for sure as we get closer towards the season, okay?
All right, enjoy the offseason.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. Eric at home. He is from Pro Football Weekly, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. When we come back, can they really, really keep this up? More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Good Thursday to you. And the Brewers just keep on rolling. The question is, I mean, best start in franchise history. And here's the question. The question is, can they keep this up? You know, a 9-2 win yesterday. And, because I thought, okay, you got the first two. I keep waiting for the other shoe to fall. Is that bad as a Brewers fan? Because last year, they were going into the All-Star break, and I had this just gut-wrenching feeling of trepidation. They go to the All-Star break, and all of a sudden, you're like, I think it's going to cool off the bats. And sure enough, it did. You think, I think the break is going to relieve some of the pressure on the Cubs, who were living with the moniker World Series hangover, and it did. And then the Cubs came storming back. The Brewers fell by the wayside. Cubs fans came out in droves and really just did nothing more than irritate me, like wearing a pair of sandpaper underwear. And everything began to spiral after that. Meanwhile, this season, it's like there's a passion. It's palpable. It's not only in the dugout or the clubhouse and on the field. It's in the stands. It's everywhere you go. I was at a meeting last night. Had to go to a meeting before Easton and I took our new boat out. He had a soccer game and all that kind of stuff, but we took the new boat out. But I had to stop at a meeting last night, and the first 10 minutes of the meeting was all about the Brewers. Can they keep this up? Because it's exciting. People are just walking around saying, you know, do I dare ask that question? Can they keep it up? Can they do this? Is this for real? You know, it's like, you know, for a while my motto was just enjoy the ride. Just enjoy the ride, you know, because it doesn't happen in Milwaukee, right? It's not supposed to be, but it's happening, and it's real, and this is what they've been building towards. So my thought is, rather than question it, and rather than wait for the other shoe to fall and live in trepidation, Sherry and I got into this discussion today about negative versus positive. Just embrace it. Enjoy it. This is great. This is great. You got the best record in all the National League. By the way, the hot stick of the day, none other than Mr. Saladino. How about that, huh? 2-for-4 yesterday, a run scored, had a couple of RBI on the day. His batting average now stands at .425 with a .905 slugging percentage, getting the start at shortstop over Orlando Arcia, who is still one of the best defensive players in all of baseball, but you can't deny what Saladino has been doing since getting the opportunity in the bigs. And his hot stick of the day is brought to you by Clemens Sausage, the links that get people together. That's right. The snack sticks right now, convenient, high-protein choice, fits the on-the-go lifestyles, and it's perfect for trips to the ballpark, snacks in between the games, thinking kids' soccer games, baseball games, that kind of thing. Throw them in your golf bag. You're out there on the course. You get the munchies, need a little protein, get you through. How are we looking? Lunches, afternoon snack, after a workout, tackle box if you're going to do some fishing. Clemens snack sticks made of premium cuts of meat, high-quality ingredients, all naturally smoked. There you have it. That is the hot stick of the day, Mr. Saladino. Yes. Can they keep this up? Yeah, why not? We will talk some more Packers when we come back. Aaron Nagler from PackersNews.com going to be joining us. We're going to talk about that. Also, some news regarding Olivia Munn, Steve Karp, Las Vegas Golden Knights beat writer. How about those Golden Knights? Want to get into that? We're going to get back to the Sterling Brown stuff coming up in about an hour and 10 minutes from now as well, because I really do want to discuss this even further, okay? Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up after this.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.